In today's Mishnah, it's from the fifth and final Mishnah from the ninth Perek of Masechta Nazir, and then we'll start the new Masechta Masechta Sota. The Mishnah begins, Nazir ha-Shmuel k'divrei Rabbi Nehorai. So Shmuel Anavi, was a Nazir according to the opinion of Rabbi Nehorai. And why is Rabbi Nehorai maintained that position? As it says, Shne'emar umura lo ya'le al rosho. Then when Chana was davening for a son, one of the things she said is, if you do not forget me, and you give me a son, and then it said, and I'll give him to Hashem, and Atil Hashem kol yom yechav all his life, and it says, Umura lo ya'ale al rosho, that Mora will not come onto his head. So the question is, what does Mora mean? The Mishnah says, Shne'emar Mora lo ya'ale al rosho. And he points out that we actually see that usage elsewhere. Ne'emar b'Shimshon, it also says b'Shimshon, the same expression, Umura, also lo ya'ale al rosho. So he understands, and explicitly there, Ki nazir Elohim ye'nar min ha'beten. So therefore he understands, since the expression by Shimshon meant that he was a Nazir, so too the same is true by Shmuel. Ma ha-murab b'Shimshon Nazir, afa murab ha-Shmuel is also going to be a Nazir. So Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi says, no, v'alo ein mora ela shel basar v'dam. Mora, he actually, if you translate it, means fear, meaning fear of human beings. So in other words, she was davening that for him he'll be scared of no man, but only by inference, meaning only if you have fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Rabbi Nehorai, if that's the case, Balok Far Ne'emar, it said, if you want to understand that Mora lo yaleh roshol, she davened that he will not have fear of any basar v'dam, then you've got a problem, because it says later on in Sefer Shemov, Yom Shul, Ech e'ele v'shama Sha'ul v'haragani. It says, how can I go up, and Shmuel will hear, and he will kill me? So we see, Shekvar haya alav Mora shel basar v'dam. So we see that later on, he actually had fear of basar v'dam, of Sha'ul. And if you say that her tefillah was such, then we find that tefillah wasn't actually fulfilled. So Rabbi Nehorai therefore maintains that we see quite clearly, based on the, if you like, the Gzeir Shava, or the connection between Psukim also by Shimshon, that really Shmuel was also a Navi as well. With that, Salicha Masechta Nazir. Let's begin the new Masechta Masechta Sota. So what we're going to learn about is that it's mentioned in Parashat Naso, the unique process that's involved when a man has suspected his wife of being unfaithful. Now, it's not just any suspicion. We have to be very careful here. Because as we learn in this first Mishnah, she has to be pre-warned or forewarned. That's kinui. And then she also has to be witness in seclusion with this particular man she's been forewarned of being in seclusion with. That's stira. So what the Mishnah debates here is exactly how many witnesses you need for both kinui, the pre-warning, and the stira itself. So the Mishnah begins, ha-mekaneit le'ishtov, someone, if the husband suspects his wife, and he forewarns her not to be in seclusion with a particular individual. Rabbi Eliezer says, in that situation, the kinyan has to be mekanel al pi shnayim, that is required to be in front of two witnesses. Umashke al pi echad. And then, once she's seen in seclusion, to kick off the entire process, it would be sufficient if only one person, even the husband himself, saw her in seclusion with that individual. What's interesting here, Kati points out, that there's a braita that says actually there's opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, so the name Rabbi Yossi, it's actually the reverse, that the kinui, the pre-warning, can even be with one witness, even the husband on his own can pre-warn, and then mashke la al pishnaim, and then the whole process to clarify what actually happened would only be kicked off if she was seen in seclusion with two people. That's why the Gemara there says that a person should not say to his wife, even in private, you shouldn't be in seclusion, I don't want you to be in seclusion with that individual. Because the concern is that it would be defined as a kinui, and if she is found in seclusion, or witnessed in seclusion with that individual later on, she'll be asur to go back to her husband, because she can only go back to her husband after the process of sota has actually been executed. And it's proven that nothing actually happened through the process, because she is tahor, that's why she'll go back. Because if something did actually happen in the times of Beis Hamikdash, she went through the sota process, she would actually die. We'll see, we'll learn about exactly all the details later on. So importantly, let's go back a step. The first opinion, Rabbi Eliezer says, the kinui, the pre-warning, has to be done with two witnesses, and the stira, meaning the witnessing of seclusion, can even be with one witness, and that would start the whole process of sota. If there was no pre-warning, importantly, then the whole process of sota wouldn't begin. It's only again kinui and followed by stira. Rabbi Yehoshua says, mekane al pishtaim umashke al pishtaim, that he requires both the kinui, the pre-warning, and the stira, meaning the witnessing of the seclusion, to have two witnesses in both circumstances. And then it's only then can he mashka give her the meisota, the sota waters to drink, as we'll learn about as we continue our learning. A few other points that's important. One is that here we're only talking about witnesses of warning or witnesses of seclusion. If, however, an individual, even one witness, sees her actually having an affair, in that situation she would ask her to go back to her husband completely. We wouldn't need two witnesses there. But again, the subject of this Mishnah is the process of Sota, where it's not, we don't know actually what happened. Another interesting point is the Mishnah says, Hamekaneh le'ishto, if someone happens to warn his wife. And the Gemara explains that's because our Mishnah goes on the opinion that really one shouldn't do this at all. One shouldn't do this kinui, because it's not good for Shalom Bayis, right? It creates fights, and she can end up, the situation can develop, which has to come to the base of Mikdash, and even if she's Tahor, even if she did nothing, it can be quite a degrading process. What's interesting is, that's the opinion of this Mishnah. There's two other opinions. Rabbi Akiva says, one must do it if he suspects his wife, it's a chiyuv. And then we've got the intermediate opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, whereas reshut, one can. So it's asul, reshut, and chova. Those are the three different perspectives in terms of this entire process of sota, of which we will learn over the coming weeks. So there's a Mishnah today.